Lord, we just thank you that you are our everything this morning, Lord. We thank you that you are the one who came to save us from our sins, Lord, and give us life, Lord. Lord, we just thank you that you are our friend, Lord. Lord, the one who stands close to us, Lord. The one who will never leave us or forsake us, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for all that you have done for us, Lord. And we are here this morning to give you honor and to give you praise through song, Lord, through the sermon, Lord. And everything we do, Lord, we are here to give you praise this morning, Lord. So let us, Lord, just be led by your Holy Spirit this morning, Lord, that he would do a mighty work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been a good week, been a busy week here in Bearden with homecoming this week, but it's just been a week that we can reflect upon God's blessings for us within our community, within our places around us. You know, we are just a blessed people to be able to live in the United States of America where we live at. And we need to recognize that, and we need to thank the Lord for that on a daily basis for what he has done for us. We're going to be back in the book of Galatians this morning. You know, last week we took not a break from grace, but we went over to the book of Romans, chapter 5 and chapter 6, and we talked about, you know, that grace is not an avenue for sin, that we can't use that. And Paul talks about it here also in the book of Galatians within this passage, you know, that we can't use grace as an avenue for the flesh. We can't use it so that we can say, you know, well, we can do whatever we want because I said a prayer or I walked down the aisle or I was baptized. We just can't do whatever we want. God changes us. It's not about keeping a set of rules. It's about desiring to follow and worship and praise the Lord. And what he has done for us in our life, we want to give back a portion of that to him by serving him. What does he tell us? If you love me, you will keep my commandments, won't you? If you love me, if you love the Lord, you will keep his commandments. You will do what he asks you to do. You will be there. You know, whenever he asks you to be there, you will say what he asks you to say. And it's not because you are a slave. It's because you are free from slavery, from the penalty of sin because of what he has done for you. So we are running well this morning, living free, and it's through love. Why is it through the love that Christ has given us we should give back to him in our sacrifice? And we brought this up in class actually on Wednesday night, you know, and I made my little phrase that I said a long time ago that I heard. I can't take credit for it, you know, but if there is no sacrifice in your sacrifice, it's not a sacrifice at all. Did y'all get lost? If there's no sacrifice in your sacrifice, it's not a sacrifice. If you don't do something in order to sacrifice, you know, for the Lord, we can't call it a sacrifice. Some people, they say, man, I sacrifice, you know, doing something in my life. You know, I sacrifice that meal. Man, I could sacrifice a lot of meals, and it's really not a sacrifice, is it? Man, we need to make sure that we are following after Christ and that we are doing what he asks us. And that means giving up some things in our worldly life to do the things that Christ has asked us to do. And that's what he's talking about. You know, in this passage, starting in verse 7, are y'all there yet? Y'all got your Bibles? Y'all got your Bibles this morning? You there yet? Okay, Galatians chapter 5. On page 1633, it's is where mine starts. I got big words, so y'all might be a different page. Says, you run well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persecution doesn't come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will not have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I shall preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. So I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, but do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word, Lord. Just let it just build deep inside of us, Lord, that we may know you better, Lord, that we may live a life that is pleasing to your word, Lord, that lines up with your word and not with the world, Lord. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit just work on hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul challenges in this, Paul challenges the Galatians to stay faithful in the truth. What is the truth? It's the truth of the gospel. What is the gospel? We spoke about that at the very beginning of this, of the book of Galatians, and we talked about what the gospel was, and you can go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you can read through that whole chapter, and you can see what the gospel is all about. But I believe it's in verse 3 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. You'll see that the gospel is laid out, that the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is what he has done for us on the cross of Calvary is the gospel. It is, as the Greek calls it, it is the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Who's that good news for? It is for me and you this morning, because we can be saved because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Because he did not go to the cross to pay for his sins. Because Jesus was the perfect, sinless Son of God. He did not have sin. He went to the cross to pay for my sin and your sin on the cross. And he did that because he loves us, because he cares about us, and he did that out of grace. We did not deserve it, but he gave it to us freely. So the gospel tells us that we are to stay faithful to the truth of the gospel. We are to stay faithful to the truth of the gospel. I will tell you this morning, you know, sometimes our heart will tell us, man, there has to be another way to Jesus. There has to be another way in order to be saved. You know, it just feels right. But I tell you, the truth is what God's Word says, and that's all that matters. Folks, there is no other way to Jesus Christ except through the gospel, what he laid out in his Word. And I pray that you have received his gospel this morning into your life, that you know him as Lord and Savior. He does not want us, after we have received the gospel, he does not want us to return to legalism and selfish living. Because that's who we were before we were saved. You know, and that's kind of a dirty word. You know, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to call ourselves as being selfish, but we were selfish. It was all about me. All about what I got out of a situation, what was in it for me in my life. And the gospel teaches us that it's not all about us, it's about someone else. We are to share the gospel with love to those around us. Christian freedom is not lawlessness. It is love expressed through service. What is our word for this year that's in our bulletin every Sunday? We have 2025 church theme. Y'all have it? Service. So what are we to do? We are to serve others with love through service, through doing things for them that do not reflect and come back to us and says, look what I have done. That is no longer service. That is self-gratification of our own lives that we say, look what I did. That does not give God the glory. That gives us ourselves the glory. And it's not about us getting the glory. It's about giving God that glory this morning. And that's what we need to look at and we need to remember in our own lives. So it's not about legalism or selfish living, which are two different spectrums there. Selfish living is all about me, but legalism is also all about me. Because I want to see you live a certain way. I want to see you follow my rules, what I set aside. But it's not about my rules. It's about what God's Word says. So number one this morning is don't let anyone trip you up. You know, as I got this together, I kind of, you know, got some thinking, you know, and was we are in South Arkansas. It says, don't let nobody trip you up. Don't let anyone trip you up. There are people out there that want to trip you up. There are people out there that are desiring that you fall away and that you fall into their way of thinking. And we need to make sure that we are running well because we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And I love Hebrews chapter 12. The verses 1 through 4 is a great passage, you know, about us running a race that is set before us. You know, and who is at the finish line? Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So where are our eyes to be fixed upon? Not the spectators on the sideline. It is on Jesus. And that's where our eyes need to be fixed upon. But we have people standing on the sideline, you know, telling us, oh, you're too slow. Oh, you're too fast. Oh, you need to slow down. Oh, you need to run on that side of the road. Oh, you need to run on this side of the road. Oh, you need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do all of these things. And Jesus is telling us, keep your eyes focused on me. Keep your eyes focused on God's word, and you will finish well. So this morning, the Galatians, as we think about the Galatians, you know, they began their spiritual journey well, but someone distracted them from their progress. Who is distracting you this morning from your progress with Christ? Not your progress with this world, but your progress with Christ. Are there people telling you that you're supposed to be doing something else? Just think of it this way. You know, a sprinter on the track is cut off mid-race by someone stepping into their lane. Legalism or wrong teaching does the same to a believer. Y'all ever been sprinting? I was telling someone this the other day. When I was back in high school, that was back in the day, back in them days, you know, we were running an off-season. We was running a 220, which now it's called a 200. So we went to the metric system, 200. Which is a half a lap around the track. Man, and I was getting it. I was a lot slimmer then, and I could run a lot faster. And I was running, and someone stepped in front of me, and I stepped on the heel of their foot running at full speed. And I can tell you, I still have a mark in my hand where I hit that track. I still have a reminder. Someone stepped in front of me, and it knocked me off course of where I did not want to be, which is on the ground, but also I did not get to finish the race. Folks, we get people that distract us in our lives and try to get us off course by stepping in front of us, trying to get us off of what God wants us to do. And that can be the world, or that can be other people that claim to be Christians that are trying to lead us astray, lead us off of track. Let us keep on track. Let us keep our eyes focused on Him. So who and what is slowing you down spiritually in your life? So who or what is slowing you down spiritually in your life? It may be your cell phone. It may be someone around you that is slowing you down, that is distracting you, that is pulling you off course of what God has called you to do. So what we need to do is we need to take our eyes off of what is distracting us and put our eyes on the truth of Christ, of what He has asked us to do. So don't let anyone trip you up in your life. Number two is a little bit of bad goes a long way. That's kind of the South Arkansas term. But we say, you know, beware or watch out for small compromises within our life. Well, I'll compromise on this today. And I'll compromise on that tomorrow. And one compromise turns into another that turns into another. And next thing you know, it's a big thing. Have y'all ever noticed anything about church? You compromise the first Sunday and you don't go, and what happens the next Sunday? It's a little easier not to go. The next Sunday, it's a little easier not to go. The next Sunday, it gets become a lot easier not to go, because you can always find something else to do in the world in which we live in, because you compromise on what God has asked us to do within our lives. And no, I know I'm meddling now, but that's all right. I can meddle. But it says here, you know, in verse 9, you know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You know, a small error or compromise spreads and affects the whole body. So you see sin going on, and you know it's going on, and you say, oh, if it's all right with them, you know, it's all right. Must be all right with me. And we're seeing this in our body today, in our world, in our churches today. You know, where there's people, premarital sex is something that is huge today, and people don't think there's anything wrong with it. In our churches, folks, and we let it become something, you know, and says, oh, you know, God will forgive them. And it's growing, and it's growing, and it's growing. And now the church looks like the world, and we're having children within our churches, and we're wondering what's going on with my kids, folks, and we're not teaching them what God's Word says and holding them to a higher standard in their life, that is not the proper way to live as a Christian. And that's not a legalistic thing. That is what God's Word says. And we have to be careful of what we're doing within our lives. Sex outside the realm of marriage is wrong, no matter how you look at it. Well, I'm older. I can do what I want. That is not what God's Word says. God says sex outside of the marriage is wrong. And a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That junk spreads quick if you don't stop it. It's junk. It goes into what we listen to, you know, in the music that we hear. And, you know, I tell the kids at school, you know, and I tell our youth, you know, what you listen to, what goes in your head, it starts coming out in your actions. Oh, it ain't hurting me to listen to that garbage. And that's what it is. I'm sorry. If it's degrading to women, if it's cussing, if it's all that, it is garbage that is going into your head. And we look at our schools and we see how our kids talk, and any teacher in here can tell you how our kids talk. Where do you think it comes from? The music that they listen to. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. it spreads and it goes throughout the whole body. And now it's all right to speak that way. Oh, it's cool to speak that way. It is not cool to speak that way. It makes you look ignorant. You know what the word ignorant means? Not the way we use it in South Arkansas. Well, it actually is, but the way we use it is without knowledge. There are other ways that we can talk. Man, it means that we need to be different. We need to look different than the world around us. It starts small and it grows and it grows and it grows. And next thing you know, it's affecting the whole body of Christ. And we wonder, what happened? What happened to my kids? Why are they acting the way they're acting? Why are they doing the things that they're doing? Because they're not following God's word, because we compromised in the beginning. Do not compromise. It's like dropping yeast, or how a bit of yeast and how it affects the entire dough. Likewise, one false ideal can spread rapidly and ruin gospel purity within our churches. So even small false teachings are dangerous. So guard our doctrine closely. Don't tolerate a little false teaching. Test everything by God's word. Let us see what God's word says. And let us line up with it, not try to make God's word line up with our ideals. And that's what a lot of people do. Let us. And if you are doing these things, stop, repent, and come back to God. God will forgive you because God is gracious. But God does not want us to continue in sin within our lives. And freedom is not freedom for the flesh. You know, in verse 13, the first part of it, 13a, it says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh." Freedom in Christ is not a license to sin. Does that sound familiar? That's what last week's message was on, or the title of last week's message. Is freedom is not a license to sin. Flesh here means selfishness, indulgence, and using grace as a cover for your sin. We use grace and says, well, I can do whatever I want because God is graceful. That is not what grace was sent for, to allow you to continue in your sin. What did God say about continuing in your sin? God forbid. Certainly not. That it would not be that way within our lives. Think of a driver gets a new license and starts speeding everywhere. Freedom misused leads to danger. So we get a driver, he gets a new driver's license, boy, and he gets out there, boy, and he likes to drive fast. These young boys, I have to speak of myself, whenever I was a young boy, you know, we like to drive fast. So we like to drive fast. We like to play with our music loud, and we like to drive fast. Yeah, Mike said, I'm still that little boy. But we like to do that. And what is that causing? It's causing danger in our life. So we have spiritual freedom must be guided by the Spirit. So we can't be guided by the flesh. Do not let the flesh control us. Let it be our spirit that God has given us as born-again believers in Jesus Christ. He has given us a spirit for a reason. It is to help guide us and direct us within our lives. But we want to listen to the flesh because we think the flesh is more fun. Well, it's fun to drive fast. Oh, It might be putting other people, and including ourselves, in danger. But we like to do that. You know, that is satisfying the needs of the flesh, not the needs of the spirit. So ask yourself, why am I using my liberty to build other, or why am I not using my liberty to build others up? Or is it to please myself? What am I using that liberty for that God has given me? We have freedom, but it's not freedom, you know, for the flesh. It's freedom for the spirit that God has given us. In verses 13 through 14, the last part of this passage, you know, we need to serve one another with love. And the end of 13 and verse 14, it says, "But through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself." What is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. What is next unto it? To love your neighbor as yourself. So there is one thing that goes above loving your neighbor, and that is loving God. And if we love God, guess what we are going to do? We're going to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're going to be transformed, you know, in our lives. You know, the true mark of a Christian maturity or of Christian maturity is not knowledge, but love. You know, you don't have to know everything that is written in here, but if you would love, it would cover a multitude of sin. A multitude. If we would love the way that Christ has loved us, by serving others, it provides that we, or proves that we, understand grace. Because we are to do to others what Christ has done for us. He has given us grace, so we are to serve others with grace. It's like Jesus talks about in the book of John. You know, an illustration, you know, Jesus washes his disciples' feet. God in flesh, stooping to serve. That's what love looks like in action. Jesus demonstrated it. Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God in human flesh, knelt down as a servant and washed his disciples' feet. And he tells us that we are to do likewise. And it's not necessarily, well, I got to get up here and I got to wash people's feet. It's the act that we're doing of service, that it's not about me looking good. It's not about me being this high and mighty and people bowing down to me. It's about me being humble and me serving others around me. And we need to check that, or have a checkup in our own hearts of what we need to do or what we have been doing. So we need to use our own freedom to serve others. Love your church, love your neighbor, love your family, and with Christ-like humility. Do we have that Christ-like humility? Well, I'm not stooping that low to do that. Boy, Christ did. Christ was willing to do the job of a servant to serve his disciples. And kind of a closing warning here at the end, you know, be careful of division is what he tells us in verse 15. You know, because all of these things kind of working together, and that if we love one another, you know, we won't have to worry about division within our churches. But we see within our churches that a lot of times that it's not about love, it's about me. And whenever it's about me, it causes division among the church. Verse 15, "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." When believers stop walking in love, the result is conflict and destruction. So when we stop loving people like Christ has told us to love one another, it's inside the church, outside the church, I don't care where it is, you're going to start backbiting and you're going to start complaining, and you're going to start tearing each other down instead of lifting each other up. Division is often a sign that freedom is being misused. Well, it's about me. Well, I want this, or I want that. How about let's look at what God wants in His Word? So kind of a final challenge this morning, you know, choose love. Protect the unity of the body by living out the gospel freedom rightly. We do this through God's Word in serving others by loving one another. So what is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. The next is likened to it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And we're not talking just our neighbor, the one who lives right beside us, because we have a parable, you know, that Jesus gives us about the man who was been beaten and being robbed and was on the side of the road, and people came, was coming by, you know, the high priest and the religious leaders, they would come by and they would see him and they would do this right here. They would walk on the other side of the road and they would go down the road. But the one that was supposed to not help him, the Samaritan, came by, he saw him, he dressed his wounds, he put him on his own donkey, he took him to an inn, paid for him to be there to heal up while he was gone, and said, if he needs more, I will pay you whenever I get back. And Jesus says, that is the definition of loving your neighbor. So it's not necessarily the person sitting beside you or the person living beside you. It's the person that is in need. That we are to love them. We are to care for them. So choose love and run free, but run in truth and in love, not in the flesh. So as we think about that this morning and we reflect on our own lives of what Christ has done for us and the love that He has given for us, and just thinking about the songs that we have sung this morning, you know, of the love that Christ has, the grace that He has given us, the friend that we have in Jesus, you know, what are we going to do with our lives? We need to have some reflection on what we're doing and be true to ourselves. Because we can lie to ourselves all day and say, oh, I'm all right, I'm all right. But let us look into our hearts and see what we need to change, what needs to be reflecting of Jesus within our lives that is not. And Jesus wants to do something. It's just, what are we going to allow Him to do? So if we'll have our musicians come to sing a song of invitation, I just ask that you stand this morning and just bow your heads and reflect upon what God has done for you. Are we serving with love this morning? Let's all stand. Lord, we just thank You so much for Your love that You have given to us, Lord. Just let us be servants of You, Lord, and servants to others around us, Lord, our neighbor. Lord, that You would be reflected in our lives to them, Lord, so that they can come to know You as Lord and as Savior, Lord. Lord, and if there's one here this morning that does not know You, that has never given their life to You, Lord, that today would be that day that they would ask forgiveness, Lord, and ask You to be Lord of their life, Lord. Receive Your grace this morning, and their lives will be changed forever. Lord, just do a mighty work with the power of Your Holy Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.